I'm Al Criazzo from Catskill Mountain Housing. You're listening to WGXC, Agra, Catskill, and Hudson.
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Arthur and Karen of Hoover, Alabama. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
There are many types of onions to use as culinary accents. Added in small amounts, they'll make a dish come alive with aromatic undertones. When used raw, they add a punch to salads and salsas. But the real magic takes place when onions are cooked. A light sauté or slow roast mellows their pungent flavors and coaxes out their natural sweetness. Look on to find out the differences between 11 different onion varieties and their uses.
Variety is the yellow onions. It looks a little pinkish, but it's called yellow onions. It's very, very similar to our red onions, but the color, if you see, is lighter. Inside, even when you peel it inside, it looks pale yellow in color. So this is the yellow onion. The next one is the white onion. Since it's on the white background, I'm just showing it to you in my hand. Even when you peel it, it will be white inside. The next type of onions is the pearl onions or the sambar vengayam, the one which we mostly use in sambar, which is typically used in Indian cooking. This is very, very small in size, so they call it pearl onions. Some people call these onions as shallots also. But the one which I'm showing you now are the actual shallots. They are slightly smaller than the regular onions, but definitely bigger than the pearl onions. So these are the actual shallots, but the pearl onions or the sambar vengayam are also called shallots. So that's just the difference between the two. Now the next variety is the scallions. Most people call these spring onions, but these are not spring onions. These are just scallions. Let me pull out one from the bunch and show you. If you see, the width of it is just the same from top to bottom. the leaves. So these the leaves on top and the whites on the bottom. The bottom part, that is the white part, will not bulge. It is just the same size as the top. So it's a uniform size. Let me show you. So these are just scallions. Now let me show you what spring onions look like. I did not get a fresh spring onion, so I'm just showing you a picture. So now these spring onions, if you see, you have the leaves on top and the white part, which is the bulb, has enlarged nicely into a nice round bulb. It's not uniform width from top to bottom. At the bottom, it has enlarged as a bulb. So these are spring onions. Some people incorrectly call them as leeks also. They are not leeks. Neither of them are leeks. This is leeks, you see. This is nice and huge and large. If you see, these are called leeks. So that's the difference between scallions, spring onions and leeks. Common lay people, as I told you, even I used to call all this, just everything, I used to call them as spring onions, and all the onions, even the pearl onions, I used to call them as shallots. So these are small things that I learned, very new. So I'm sharing all this with you. So I thought I'll make a quick small video about the different types of onions. So these are all things that I learned new at a point of time. So it's always a good idea to share that what we learned.
What is the difference between scallions and green onions? This might be the most commonly seen confusion amongst people. Even though there's so many debates online to say what is a true scallion and what is a true green onions, but the fact is these are not even its scientific name. And both green onion and scallion are referred to as various edible members of the allium fistulism that lack of a fully developed bulb. But yes, they're basically the same thing. By the way, there's over 100 varieties of allium fistulism in China, which are mostly based on where they are planted or how they're planted, or even just the name of the farm. Both green onion and scallion have a very similar taste and look, so it's totally interchangeable in most cuisines.
Forming here and the green stalks up above. So that's how an onion grows. It is a bulb, not a root vegetable, as some people sometimes refer to it as. Now, let's talk about our different types of onions here. First of all, our three main groups. I have here these brown or yellow onions. These are sometimes referred to as Spanish onions. These are your main full-flavored onion that you'll want to use in most of your cooking applications. Roasting, they're terrific. Now, the difference between these two is the brown onion has this drier, thicker outer skin. That lends itself very well to storage. So you will see these onions typically in the summer and into the fall and winter. Those will be available. The yellow onion, however, has a very thin outer skin, and it's a little bit soft. It's not as tough as that brown skin, and hence these do not lend themselves to storage quite as well. So you'll mostly see these in the spring and summertime. These will be available. Both of these onions can be used to make the famous French onion soup, and they do a wonderful job there. Let's move over to our red onions. Red onions are used often in fresh applications. They're great for that. You can take these and dice them up into a salad, slice them and put them on a hamburger, or they make wonderful rings on a sandwich. The color livens up any dish, and they are great for that. Our third group is the white onion. These are a staple of Mexican cuisine. In fact, they're personally my favorite for dicing up and putting over my tacos. And you can see that in our taco recipes here on the channel. Now, when you saute these, they turn a wonderful golden color and they develop a terrific sweetness that is just great in any dish that you use them for. Now, let's take a look at some of our specialty onions that I've got here. This first one is a sweet summer onion, commonly sold under the names of Vidalia or Walla Walla onions in the stores. You'll see that this onion has a very low profile. It's kind of flat here. That's one of the rules about onions. The flatter it is, the sweeter it is. So when you go to the store and look for these sweet onions, try to select the flattest ones that you can find. You'll be guaranteed a little more sweetness in that onion. And under that rule, this red onion that is kind of flat here should be sweeter than this red globe onion right here. So that's just a little tip for you today. The next group here, I've got some small onions. They're known as boiler onions or pickling onions. They are just onions that are harvested at a little earlier stage than the others. They grow the same way, but they're picked at a younger age, and they're used for making pickles or just having boiled onions, peeling those, maybe putting a sauce over them. I don't have an example of pearl onions here. Those are the same onions as these guys, only smaller, and they're used traditionally in a fresh English pea and carrot, chopped carrot dish with the little tiny white onions in there. That's the pearl onions. Finally, I've got some scallions here, which are commonly called green onions. And you're probably familiar with these, the white ends and the green tops of those. These are great when you are looking for a milder onion flavor, maybe in a fresh guacamole dish, or you could chop them up in a salad. They're great that way. The nice part about these is they're 100% edible, and you can use the tops even as a garnish on a plate, and that would look lovely. Now, to pick these out of the store, we'll start with the green onions. These usually come with a rubber band around them. Make sure.
Start crying rapidly. slice going forward. Let the weight of the knife do the work. Three fingers, one in front, two behind. And this part of the knuckle is going to guide the knife. Fingers on top of the onion, point the knife towards the root and try to get as close to the root as possible. Nice, long stroke. And then push the onion back together. Push the knife halfway into the onion. Slightly tilt the knife down. One at the top. And then gripping the onion like a tennis ball, holding it together in place. With the weight of the blade to cut through that onion to get to the base of the root. Again, turn it round, up and down motion. And that's what we're left there. No waste, just the root. And look, there, you've got a really nice find.
Celebrate autumn as the days draw in.
This is a homage to the French onion soup, but there's a few things that we do in this country that are so good. I'm really proud of bread and cheese and a few little kind of hacks for flavour. So slice up 2 kilos of onions, red or white, it doesn't matter. Without being kind of too boring or geeky, if you slice an onion, it tastes different when you cook it to if you chop an onion. And if you chop it coarse, it tastes different than if you chop it small. And if you roast it whole in the skin, it tastes different to if you roast it whole without the skin. So, like, that's cool, right? So we cut it this way. It's just sweeter and more delicious. So I'm going to use a lovely casserole-style pan, medium-high heat. Go in with some olive oil, a couple of tablespoons. I'll take a knob of butter. This looks generous, but I'm making quite a lot of soup, right? This is going to be enough for, like, 8, maybe even 10 portions. and then garlic. Take six cloves, we'll slice these up. As soon as this lovely butter is sizzling away, get the garlic in there. I don't want any colour on this garlic. You just want to bring out those sweet flavours. And then I'm going to go in with the onions and lots of them. It's going to look like too much, but you have to trust me. We need to access the natural sugars in this incredible vegetable, and that requires a little time, right? So we want to soften these, and then as the moisture starts to cook away, we start to fry, and then we start to caramelize. I'm going to turn the heat up now, season it with some salt and some pepper, fairly generously, and then I want to take another little bit of inspiration from the French and have a bouquet garni, which is like a little bunch of herbs. So take a little bit of sage, thyme, rosemary. You could have a little bay leaf in there. Grab some string and tie it up. Or you can buy them like this. That little bunch of herbs is going to give incredible fragrance and flavour. Turn the heat down to medium. And I am going to cook this down for about 40 minutes. But instead of losing all of this moisture, you can see the steam, right? I want to keep it. So I'm going to make a little lid. This is what the French would call a cartouche. But this bit of paper is folded in half, and then folded in half again, and then again. Measure up to the centre of your pan. Slice off the end. Take the tip of your knife and just do a little cross like that. And let a little bit of steam come through. So if I put our little cartouche on top, or if you don't want to do that, use a lid, a jar. So what's that going to do? It's going to keep it wetter for longer. We're going to release more sugars, get more caramelization, more colour, more flavour. So that's how you cheat out epic flavour. So I'm going to cook this for 20 minutes with the cartouche paper on top, and then I'll rip it off, and then I'll caramelise it for 20 minutes, and then I'll show you what to do next. I've just given it a little stir every now and again. If you look in the bottom of the pan, it's actually those brownings that are going to give this broth, this soup, the most beautiful dark colour. So to help get all those sticky bits off the bottom, add a little beer, a British IPA, 300 mils, not too much. And I'm going to turn the heat up now and cook all that beer away. Now we're going to go in with the stock. I'm going to use a chicken stock. 2.5 litres goes in.
put it on its flat spot and then cut it in half. Okay? This is the fastest and easiest way to peel an onion. Get rid of your trash. Because you don't want your trash getting caught up in your good stuff. And yes.
The glorious onion. Did you know that in addition to serving as food, onions were prescribed to alleviate headaches, snake bites, and hair loss? They were even used as rent payments and wedding gifts. Well, times have certainly changed, but onions remain key to so much of our cooking. We will start with a rich French onion soup made with yellow onions and served with homemade croutons and melted cheese. Next, I'll teach you how to glaze tiny red and white pearl onions with butter and balsamic vinegar, a perfect side dish. And finally, everyone loves to order onion rings in a restaurant, and today I'll show you how easy they are to make at home using a secret ingredient. Then slice them like this into thin pieces. It makes a very nice presentation in the soup, and it's a little bit unusual rather than slicing them that way. This is a very pretty presentation. So we'll need 2 pounds of yellow onions. And if the onions are large and glorious, such as these, you'll need probably 4 of these. My garden is full of great onions. And I love making onion soup. Now, 4 tablespoons of butter in a heavy pot like this with a wide bottom. This is an 8-quart enameled cast iron. I love cooking in something like this because they have to get really, really caramelized to get that dark, perfect onion soup. So add your onions and start them cooking down. This takes quite a long time, about an hour. It's that caramelization process, that cooking down of the onions, that really starts the soup tasting the way it should. As soon as they start to exude a little bit of their moisture, add 1 teaspoon of just granulated sugar. This helps speed up the caramelization process. This helps color the onions, giving it that sort of nutty brown color that is very desirable.
How to brew a cup of hot onion tea. Boil 2 cups of water. Into the rapidly boiling water, add the onion pieces. Boil it for some time and add bay leaf and cloves to it.
onions. Onions are amazing. Loaded with chromium, which is good for blood sugar issues. It decreases the need for insulin. Biotin, good for the hair. B6 for general metabolism issues. Vitamin C, good for a lot of things for the arteries, the adrenals, the immune system. Sulfur, it's loaded in sulfur. And sulfur is really good in phase 1, phase 2 detoxification of your liver. What does that mean? It will help detoxify poisons in the body and turn them into harmless particles. So they help convert toxins and flush it out through the body safely. So the sulfur compounds, like radishes are high in sulfur, but onions and garlic are also high in sulfur. That's really good for the liver and the immune system. Vitamin B1, it's very important for stress. Vitamin K for clotting, so you're not bruising. Quercetin, which is a phytonutrient that is antiviral. So if you have the flu, onions are really important. You can start consuming more of those. That's kind of what happens when you're run down or sick. Garlic and onions should be your go-to food. Anti-inflammatory, antihistamines, the runny nose, the coughing, congestion, heart, immune system, anti-cancer, laryngeal, ovarian cancer, very important. Helps absorption of lycopene, which is another phytonutrient from tomatoes. So, you know, that's probably a great combination, tomatoes and onions. But don't cook them too long. Some people cook them, they leave them on the stove, and then they just get overly done, and you lose all the nutrition. So you want to cook them a little shorter, cut the onion a little thicker, so not too thin, add butter, of course, and make sure it's lower heat. So a little shorter, so it's not too overly done. All right, just sautéed. Thanks for watching.
This is the tip of the onion, and this is the root end. You see the root right here? So we need to remove the root, and we need to remove the tip, so then we can remove the skin of the onion. This is when we're going to use a paring knife, but we're going to use it this way. We're not going to use it this way because that would be kind of dangerous. If we slipped, we would hurt ourselves. So if we take the paring knife and we hold it like that, we put it in, and look what happened. The onion is turning around the knife, not the knife around the onion. Look, look. I'm going to do it again on the other side. Okay, look, whoop, remove the wood. And now look at the top end. I'll do the same, and look. Up, voila. I'll remove both sides, just like that. Very simple to do, right? Now, let's remove the pepper skin of the onion. We're going to cut it, just like that. And then we're going to remove it. Look at this. You see how simple that is? When you are going to dice an onion, you want to remove the first layer, because the first layer is somewhat slippery. So you want to remove it. See, look. Voila. We're removed. See how quick that was? Very simple to do, right? Now let me show you the right way to mince an onion. It's very simple. Some people make it more complicated than it needs to be. This is when we're going to use a chef's knife. We're going to make sure it's nice and sharp. And what we're going to do, we're going to cut the onion in half. You see, by the way, these lines going up and down on the onion? When you are going to mince an onion, you never want to cut across those lines. You want to follow the line. So here we are. We're going to follow the line. We're going to cut in the same direction as the line goes, okay? Now, if you look right here, that was the root end. It's a little tighter. The root end, I don't know if you can see, is a little tighter than the top. See, the layers are much wider here than they are here. One side or the other is okay, but if you have to choose a side, you want to choose the root end, and I'll show you why. What we are going to do now, we're going to cut, but we are going to keep the root end intact. We are not going to cut through this, which means instead of going this way, I am going to keep this intact. I'm not going to cut it. So look what I'm doing. I'm going up and down. See? It'll go just like that, up and down. See, very simple, keep it all together. See, if I were to cut all the way through, then the onion for sure, when I get to the end, I just hold it like that, the onion would fall apart. Now, I want to put it across this way, and all I have to do now is cut it up and down. You see often, chef going this way, you don't need to do this. You see, the onion natural fabrication of it, if you will, is a strip. You don't need to go this way, absolutely not. All you need to do now is go up and down, and look, and you have, and see the way, by the way, I'm holding it? I'm holding the whole thing together, and look at this. I have right here a perfectly minced onion. You see, this is perfectly minced. You cannot get a better minced onion right here. This is perfect. I didn't need to curl across. And look, you see right here? This is a perfect, perfect, perfectly crushed onion. See, perfectly, perfectly. Now, we're going to push this aside right here. Now, what do we do with this? This has not been cut. So here, what we do with this? We cut it this way. See, that has not been cut, remember? And then we turn it on the other side and we finish it just like that. And we have right here a perfectly diced onion. Okay? Very, very, very simple. Put that in one pot. Okay, now look how beautiful that is. Now I'm going to take one of those little scoopers that I use, and I'm just going to take that. See how nice that is? You can remove anything from your cutting board just by doing this. Just like that, you see? Whatever it is you're cutting, celery, onion, carrots, I don't give a what.
Everybody knows what a green onion is. It looks different from all of these, right? If you don't know what a green onion is, then just ask the person who helped you put your shoes on today, right? Now we're going to move to the guts, to the main part of this onion video, which is these bulb onions right here. Now I'm going to go ahead and arrange these in popularity. For me, personally, this is how I use the onions, right? And, you know, it's almost by price, too. Because like this here is the cheapest, most popular onion in the world, right? More often than not, you're going to be using this onion if you order a dish in a restaurant. More often than not, it's going to be this onion here. Because it's cheap and you can use it just like any other kind of onion. You can eat any of these onions raw. And you can cook any of these onions. And some of them are better.
The complexity of human identity and the layers that make up who we are.
just like an onion, has multiple layers that contribute to its overall structure and flavor. Our identity is composed of various layers that shape our personality, beliefs, experiences, and relationships. Each layer represents a different aspect of our identity, and peeling back these layers allows us to understand ourselves more deeply. Stick to the end of this video to uncover 7 layers of self-identity. Number 1 is the environment, the outermost layer of the onion representing an individual's external surroundings. This includes, what do you have to deal with? What influences you? The physical environment, cultural context, and social influences. These external factors shape and impact a person's behaviors, choices, and beliefs. Moving inward, we encounter the second layer of behavior. This layer encompasses, what do you do? An individual's observable actions, reactions, and interactions with their environment and others. Behavior is influenced by external factors and the layers beneath it. Beyond behavior, we find the third layer of competencies. This layer involves, what can you do?
Cilantro, basil, and we'll talk about pestos. But yeah, you can do a lot with fresh herbs and just kind of making, chopping it up with those fresh herbs and then sprinkling that on top of stuff is great. It doesn't have to be cooked, but it can be cooked. So let's also talk about other flavor pairings. It goes really well with cream and butter. It goes with eggs. Maui sweets and Walla Walla sweets. Now they're not innately sweet, it's that they have less sulfur in them, which allows you to taste all the sugar that's naturally in them. Now they're yellow on the outside and they're flatter in shape than a traditional onion. Since sweet onions aren't as sharp as the other onions, they're much better to serve raw, sliced, or diced in salads as a garnish and relishes, or on burgers and sandwiches, or even as onion rings. Now, if you've never had these before, you will love the sweet flavors in these. Next, red onions. These are slightly sweet and still mild enough to eat raw on things like salads or sandwiches. They have a beautiful purple magenta-like color on the outside and have either a flattened globe shape or they're round. Because the colors are so bright, they are great to use as a garnish. I usually serve them sliced on burgers or sandwiches, but they are also wonderfully grilled, in salads, or pickled and served on things like tacos. The beautiful colors in red onions make them stand out so much on anything that you're gonna serve up. Now, yellow onions. These are the most common onions sold and have a yellow bronze-like color on the outside. They're typically round in shape and tend to be on the spicier side due to its higher sulfur content. Now, the strong onion taste relaxes quite a bit and turns to sweetness when roasting or caramelizing. When serving these, it's best to do so cooked, first by caramelizing, roasting, or served in soups, dips, or tarts. Compound called sinpropenethyl oxide. Sinpropenethyl S oxide. That compound's released into the air, and that's what irritates the glands in your eyes. There are a lot of myths and methods that people say will stop you from crying. Some of the methods that could work is make sure you cut with a sharp knife. Avoid cutting the onion near the root end. But honestly, the only thing that's ever worked for me is wearing my contact lenses. Now that we got all that out of the way, it's time to peel. Onions, and it all depends on what you're going to use them for. The first way I'm going to show you is the way that we teach in culinary school. This is not my preferred method, but it's something you should learn just to have it as a skill. It takes two knives, paring knife and the chef knife. For this part, I'm going to use a paring knife. Usually what you'll do is you'll take the bottom off, and then you'll peel away the skin to the root end. Make sure that you get any dry skin off, because dry skin is basically paper. Now, you want to leave the root intact, but you don't want any of these kind of ugly root ends, so you're just going to cut this flat. I leave the root end intact, especially for when we're slicing and chopping. This makes the onion hold together so that it's not kind of falling apart while you're cutting it, and that is the classic culinary school peel. Part of the reason I don't like this method is that I have to use two knives. I use a paring knife, and then I have to put this down and chop with my chef knife. The method that I use on a daily basis when I peel my onions is a little different. I learned it from one of my cooks. I'll never forget him, Alberto. Alberto said, "Chef, you're doing that wrong." And I was a chef, so I was like, my prep cook's telling me how to cut onions? Those are the best people to learn from because they do it more than you. Shout out to my friend Alberto. I'm going to cut off both ends. I'm not worried about that root end because when I chop it, it's going to be a little bit of a different method. And then I cut it in half and I just peel away that first layer. People will be like, "Oh, chef, you wasted so much." But when I went to culinary school, I was taught to use this in my stock. So it's not a waste. Now, my method might not work if you're making onion rings or you're grating the onion, but it works for pretty much every other cut. Once you're done peeling, you want to make sure that you clean your cutting board of all skin. Any little bits and pieces, you can see this onion here has a little piece of skin. You want to make sure that comes off. This is inedible. This is like paper. You might as well just take napkins and paper towels and put them in your food. Now that our onions are peeled, let's get into how we're going to cook. Purple-like flesh. Shallot bulbs are very similar to garlic, where they have multiple clusters like each individual garlic clove. They're obviously from the same family. These are much milder in onion flavor because they're smaller, but can still pack a punch when wanting to bring some onion flavors into a dish. They aren't as commonly used in recipes in the United States for some reason, like one of the other four onions, but can still do an excellent job when roasted or added raw to a vinaigrette, pickled, or diced and added to the tops of salad as a garnish. Now, all onions, no matter the breed, are crunchy when raw, crisp when fried, and soft when cooked. While you can certainly find onions at any store, quality onions are guaranteed at Heinen's. Can you believe that Heinen's has a full-time inspector at their warehouse?
about the size of a nickel or quarter, depending on the variety. After the first season, the green tops die off, but that tiny bulb can remain underground or be harvested and then planted next year. And if you are growing your own onions at home, many people start with onion sets, which are basically these tiny one-season-old onions. Now, I need some help here. If anyone is an onion farmer or just knows the answer to this question, let me know in the comments below. So pearl onions, cipollini, or baby onions can sometimes be found and bought at the store. However, this got me wondering, are these A, onion sets that have been grown for a single season and sold for consumption instead of planting the second season? B, are they onion sets that were planted in the second season and then harvested early before they reach full size? Or C, are these a mature onion variety that after the two growing seasons happen to grow very small bulbs? I took a bite from each onion like an apple and came away with three big observations. First, the white, yellow, and sweet onion were much more similar to each other than I thought. Secondly, the red onion had the most oniony aroma. And third, the shallot was by far the most pungent and caused me the most painful physical reaction.
Whoa!
So, what do these actually mean? Well, let's walk through the flavor properties. Remember, there are just five main tastes: sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami. And in their raw form, onions are actually pretty neutral tasting. And here's a weird test that you can do at home to showcase this concept. Get out a slice of apple and a layer of yellow onion, plug your nose, and take a bite. Texturally, you will feel a difference, yes, but with your nose closed, you may be surprised to find that they aren't as different as you would expect. Why? Well, onions, just like apples, are made up of three main molecules: water, carbohydrates, and protein. Apples are around 85% water, 14.7% carbohydrates, of which about 12% are total sugars, and 0.1% protein. Yellow onions, on the other hand, are around 90% water, 8.6% carbohydrates, and about 6% of that is total sugars, and lastly, 0.83% of protein. Now, you may be going, Ethan, why are we talking about molecules here? Well, let me explain. As we know, water doesn't really smell or taste like anything. So that means most of the flavor of an onion is coming from the protein of the onion.
Some are stronger, some are finer. It's really a question of taste. First, you want to peel the onion. Some leave the root, some remove the root. In addition, cut the front like this if you want to leave the root leave the part of the root there. Now, it is not a question of removing necessarily one layer of onion. It's a question of removing enough layers so the onion is totally clean. You know, sometimes you need to remove two layers. As you can see, for example, here, that layer is kind of fibrous and a little bit leathery. That would be removed too. So sometimes you can leave the root right there. It will help in the chopping a little bit. Chopping again, it's very important to keep things flat. So first, I cut that in half. It's much easier now with something flat than something round. Again, the knife against this, and I will go up and down. Notice that I'm going to start from here in order to do that. This is the slicing of onion up to the root there, separate. Now the onion, of course, will make you cry. And this is a compound of sulfuric acid in onion which makes you cry. Now if your knife is very, very sharp, then you won't cry because it doesn't crush it. It doesn't release some of that liquid. Very sharp. Now to chop an onion, you do it that, and I start here, you know, I don't start here and crush, I start here and go down. So you cut your onion, to chop your onion rather, you cut this way so that the whole thing is cut into slice but kept at the root. Then now you keep those slices together and you cut across like that with your onion and finally in that direction. And now I have, as you can see, very finely chopped onion without crying too much because I haven't crushed the onion. Now that compound of sulfuric acid that I mentioned before, it's what will discolor the onion, make it dark and sting your eyes. But that compound of sulfuric acid is water soluble. So what do you do? If I'm going to saute those onions, it doesn't make any difference. But if I use those onions with caviar in the dining room, for example, or with a steak tartare, or with a carpaccio, or with a gazpacho, then you wash the onion. You wash the onion a little bit in cold water like that. That wash up that compound of sulfuric acid. Then you put it into a towel to clean up your onion. Press a little bit of the juice, or rather of the water from the onion here. And now that onion could be done one day ahead. That onion is going to stay white and fluffy just like this for several days in the dining room.